Radio Stadler. We have at this moment, introduce yourselves.
I'm Alan Forquet with GRL and Fat Lab, represent.
This is Johnny Christmas with, I guess, Radio Stadler.
And they're going to keep you entertained for a little while here, so go for it.
Yeah, just so everybody knows, in case it wasn't very obvious, we're having difficulty streaming some of the talks. The talks out of 18 aren't working. And so, fill some space. We're bringing in some people from around the con, some specific personalities, people who are doing interesting things and helping to push the con forward with what it does. And so we decided to bring in GRL here to talk a little bit about GRL.
The world of GRL. Yeah, so, the world of GRL, it's an interesting place.
How about that? Why don't we start with for the people who don't know anything about anything, ground up.
Like myself.
What? Like him. What is the world of GRL?
Yeah, so GRL, Graffiti Research Lab, founded, I don't know, years ago by Evan Roth and James Powderly.
Years ago in some ancient land.
Yes, far, far away in the town of Manhattan. the whole point was to provide graffiti artists with new tools to do new cool things. And we quickly learned that graffiti artists are pretty fucking good at what they do. They've got it pretty handled. The spray can is kind of the ultimate graffiti tool.
So what have you guys done to compensate for that?
So one of the first things we did that was ridiculous and well-loved by many and hated by others is throwies that many people are familiar with. The staff of the lovely Hotel Penn is intimately familiar with removing them from ceilings.
I will say that of my 12 years of coming to Hope, of all of the DIY projects they've had here, by far the throwies one was my all-time favorite.
Yeah, they're kind of like hacker crack in a way. Like
they were.
It's amazing.
For those listening and watching, hey, by the way, do we have a URL they can watch on? Do people know where to go for the video stream?
What's in like at the top of the page there?
It just says Justin TV/broadcast, which is not...
You just go there, you'll find something, I swear.
Look on Justin TV, I don't know, probably search for Hope Number 9. Radio, oh, no, Radio Stadler. Radio. Yeah, so if you go to Justin.tv and search for the user Radio Stadler, we are broadcasting live via video, and you can also chat with us there in the room as well as...
Radio.hope.net.
Yeah,
take you to the Radio Stadler page, and then from there, it's got a streaming page, a listen page, all that.
There you go.
Just go to the listen page.
So anyway, back to the throwies. The throwies were essentially a very large, very bright LED and a battery, like a CR2032,
yep,
and some electrical tape. And you bundle all that together, and what you have
you forgot the most important part, the magnet.
Oh, the magnet.
The magnet.
And a very strong magnet. You tape all that together in a nice little ball, and you have an LED that will stick to anything metal. And... which seems like, all right, kind of lame until
you have 100 of them or 5,000 of them, and all of a sudden it's a party.
And they're called throwies because you throw them at very high up, unreachable metal structures where it will be impossible to get them down.
You're not necessarily the most reusable project per se, however, it's a lot of fun.
A lot of fun, very inexpensive. My favorite part of that whole project was that... before the Hacker Halfway House went away, they used to throw a party there on Saturday nights during Hope, and you could follow, you knew you were going the right way because you could follow the trail of throwies all the way through Brooklyn to get to the Hacker Halfway House, and that was really cool because it was just these tiny little hacker fireflies.
Yep. So to everyone else, it was like, oh, sweet, a glowing light, and to the people in the know, it was like, oh, this is where I need to be going.
Right, I'm going the right
party
way.
Party this way.
Trail of breadcrumbs.
Glowing breadcrumbs, my favorite kind.
And so that's really cool. So you're taking the idea of graffiti to a whole nother level, getting away from spray paint entirely.
Yeah, and one of the really interesting things with that as well, like throwies, it opened it up, not necessarily traditional graffiti, but it opened up that world to a lot of people that necessarily didn't like it.
Yeah, and that's people who aren't necessarily artistic in, as far as like an airbrushing or standard graffiti sense. It still is graffiti. It's...
bringing color to street art, right?
To a drab environment. I mean, how would you define graffiti? I mean,
it depends on who you ask.
Right.
I've got a good friend, fairly well known in the graffiti world in Manhattan, Katsu, fucking awesome guy. He just put out a video recently that stating the graffiti is not meant to be pretty. It's not meant to be anything. It's just meant to fuck shit up. So, I mean, that's one stance on it.
That runs the whole gamut then. Yeah. And Throwy certainly did both.
Yeah, and this is one of my favorite, probably kind of a tangent. At one point, we took a school bus and painted it with chalk paint and drove it out to Maker Faire and gave people markers and chalk and other things and had everybody just ride on a school bus. And there's all these people that have never done anything like it. And one of our favorite things we found on there was a middle-aged mom, 34 years old. She wrote, "I've never done anything like this before, and it's a lot of fun."
That's really cool.
And so it was really funny. You give like the kids the markers and spray cans, whatever, and they would just go to town. They're like, "I know exactly what to do." Like, there was no even hesitation. They're just like, "I'm riding on this now." And the adults were like, "Is it okay if we do this?" It was such a different dynamic between the two groups.
That does speak volumes to how we beat a lot of the childlike wonder out of our kids.
And yeah, right.
Beat them into conformity.
Remember, everybody,
make them
stay
worry
young.
About is this okay or not. Yeah, that's really cool. Letting it be okay and getting the adults and be like, "Do it. Fucking spray paint it.
Yeah,
here. Always want to do. It's okay."
Man, it all that ties really well in with hope of the hacker mentality of, you know, why stay within the rules when there's all this shit that's really cool that's not necessarily approved but still worth doing.
Yeah, to where the boundaries of what is and isn't legal kind of blurs this whole. That's the definition of this whole conference.
Yeah, pretty much. Don't ask for permission. Just do it and ask for forgiveness when you get in trouble.
It's a good credo. That's a good way to go.
Makes
to
my
life
so much easier.
Yeah, just be like, "Oh man, I'm sorry," because then you also got that experience. Speaking of graffiti, this room here, so you guys can see it, it's kind of drab right now, and we usually do like to graffiti it up. And so anybody at the con who happens to be listening, if you want to come down and just give a quick chat about whatever it is you're doing or whatever you're into, we're looking for some more people to come and talk about it. And while you're in here, you can go ahead and graffiti up our walls and maybe we'll
make the world a more colorful place. And
we'll
black
definitely
market.
Have you do something. Yeah, make this radio booth a much more colorful place, because what is this? Is this like insulation?
Something.
Yeah. Were you here for, in the radio booth last show?
I hung out a little bit in the other booth.
Do you remember it being frightening, like something out of the ring with like one little red light in the middle?
Yeah, it was a special place at Hope last year.
And that 400-foot feather boa. It was a scary, hot booth. So this is way better, going back to the old way of doing it.
Yeah, I'm a little sad this year. It's the first Hope in quite a few that I'm not presenting anything with Graffiti Research Lab.
So what are you guys doing here? You just running the vendor table?
I'm here on official business with my employer this year.
Do you want to talk to that, or would you rather?
No.
Okay.
not for this one.
Got it.
My boss won't appreciate it, but whatever.
Yeah. No, I know
I'm here representing other things at the moment.
I am not here on business, and I was explicitly instructed not to discuss
exactly
who I work for.
Exactly.
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, so the GRL stuff, I mean, one of the other projects that we did that got a lot of popularity and still one super fun to do is laser tag. For those not familiar, imagine...
For those who are not pushing 40 like the rest of us.
Imagine you have a 15-story building, and it's mostly concrete, and you want to, say, draw on it. Doing that with paint's a pain in the ass, also expensive, short of stealing the paint. Don't do that. So laser tag is a good system we set up where you set up a camera, a projector, you hook it all up to your computer, and then you take a laser and you draw on this 15-story building. And wherever you draw is what gets written on the building.
I've seen plenty of that on YouTube.
Yes.
It's really cool stuff.
Yeah, and inevitably there are penises that get drawn and all sorts of various fun words. And
I think that's the default, like, first thing you draw. That's
That's
like the hello world of the graffiti universe. You did the big penis.
Or one of James's favorite things to write. He always loved writing jihad. That was always a good time. I always got a good response from people. He did that in some countries.
Okay.
He possibly shouldn't have done it in, but whatever. That's that ask for forgiveness later mentality.
Yeah, so graffiti is not for you if you don't plan on getting killed accidentally.
Maybe. Yeah, or going to jail. Like, if you have fears of these things, don't get into graffiti, kids.
Going to jail in countries where human rights is kind of a rumor.
Yeah, China maybe.
What else are you guys working on?
Yeah, so Graffiti Research Lab sort of morphed into, or split, I don't even know what to say it did, but there's Fat Lab now, which is the, I don't know, mother cell of Graffiti Research Lab.
Okay. How'd you come up with the name Fat Lab?
Fat Lab is the Free Art and Technology Lab.
Okay. That's a good answer.
Yeah, the website is 5fs.at, so fffff.at. That's how we roll. We have a stutter. Exactly. Yeah, so it's a lot of the same people, but a lot more people are involved with Fat Lab than Graffiti Research Lab. Graffiti Research Lab, we've got a lot of cells around the world, but it's still a pretty small crew. Fat Lab, it's a much bigger crew doing much more constant work and a lot of awesome projects.
So not just graffiti anymore.
Not just graffiti.
Just all over the
all
place.
All sorts of retarded projects. My last project was a stupid email wreck the spoilers bullshit thing. Anybody that has Gmail, you know the nice feature where you go to your inbox and it shows the first, I don't know, two lines, three lines of the email, so you don't have to actually open it.
Mm-hmm.
That's really frustrating when you want somebody to actually open the email. So I did a quick speed project on FatLab of, here's what you need to put in your email, so all of a sudden nobody can see the fucking email and they have to open it. People
that
get
is
really,
an awesome idea.
People get really angry when you do it to them and they swear at you. But at least, but at least they read your email.
Especially in, like, a workplace environment.
Yes.
Making people do work at work.
Yeah, I mean, so the stupid projects like that. One of the most famous ones was one of our fellows, Greg, did a project called Shaved Bieber, who got
I think I'm familiar with that one.
Yes. Yeah, he got very tired of Justin Bieber being everywhere. So he made a Firefox plugin that any picture of Justin Bieber was blacked out and any mention of his name was blacked out. Which in some ways kind of drew more attention to it, but at least you didn't have to see it.
Do you happen off the top of your head of a count on how many times it was downloaded?
Oh, hundreds of thousands. No, so Greg got death threats from all the Bieber fans, like 14-year-old girls, like, you're the worst person ever, you should die, I'm going to come kill you in your sleep. And it's like, you're 13, what's wrong with you? Why are you so violent?
What is it with all of your hacks ending up in, like, potential death?
Yeah, it's a thing, you know? We've had odd competitions about these things. Not necessarily with the death, but with the cease and desists.
Well, yeah.
See who can get the most in a month. Yeah, stupid shit like that. Yeah, we just...
That'd be a good contest to have at Hope one year. Just whoever can bring in the most cease and desist letters addressed to themselves.
Yeah, so while it was not necessarily part of any contest, and it was actually... I don't even know what to call it. One of our fellows, Kyle McDonald, did a project, People Staring at Computers. Amazing project. His whole thought of the project was, hey, let's see how people interact with computers. Simple enough. So he wrote a quick app that detects a face in front of a computer, went to the Apple store, installed it on the computers, and when it detected a face, it would take a picture of that person and send it to his server.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, Apple was not so keen on that idea. So.
That was the best part of the idea, doing it at the Apple store.
So well, yeah,
this
so he,
massive flow of the public.
Yeah, and just seeing all these people interact with computers. And
just
learned,
seeing a whole bunch of people like...
The faces, the people like... people look really boring when they're looking at computers. That's what he learned. And he decided to do an exhibit about it, where he modified his little application, and it would detect somebody at the computer, and then it would go to a website... and start, basically, it would take their picture and then start a slideshow of other pictures that were in the project. And he went to the store when it was going to happen. They did it on all the computers, so it was basically a little art gallery.
Yeah.
And he was filming some people, asked, hey, do you mind if I film you using this computer? And, you know, to his amazement, like, people would see it and they would look around and confused, didn't know what was going on, but they wouldn't actually talk to anybody else about it. They would see other people doing the same thing, but nobody
really?
Would be like, nobody would be like, hey, what's going on? What is this? Like,
they just looked, saw it happening to everybody else. And
yeah,
then,
it was
and
fascinating.
Then just wandered away.
And... yeah, so he posted this little project and then was promptly visited by the Secret Service, who did not much appreciate what he was doing based on Apple's assessment of horrible malware.
The Secret Service?
Secret Service, which was confusing to a little bit of everyone. But yeah, fantastic prize. That kind of wins all the contests of cease and desist. Like, when the Secret Service shows up, like, congratulations, you have won.
Yeah.
Yeah, check out that project. Also, it was, I think, yesterday or the day before, he just did a whole write-up in Wired. It's like a 5 or 6 page write-up about the whole project and the experience. Fantastic read.
That does sound fascinating. Is it on the website, too, I'd assume?
I'm not sure if we linked it from FatLab or not. We should.
Give us a quick shout-out for all the details on that. Like, what was it called? What's the guy's name?
Yeah,
like, what should people search for?
If you
want to
look up the article, the guy's name is Kyle McDonald. The project was People Staring at Computers. And, yeah, it's basically in his firsthand account of, you know, the project, the mentality behind it, what he was going for, and then the adventures of dealing with the Secret Service and having all his stuff taken away. One of my favorite stories that came out of that, when they were taking all of his stuff, like, oh, what computers do you have? What hard drives do you have? We're taking all of this. What about your phone? And he pulls out this old Nokia brick phone. And they look at it, yeah, you can keep that. That's cool.
The benefits of being low tech.
Yeah, so definitely check out that article, though. It's fantastic read.
It sounds fascinating. And I will when we're done. What is in the future for FatLab? What are the current... Give me a good current project.
So the current project is near and dear to my heart, as it's my project. I'm kind of heading it up because everyone else is super fucking busy. We started it a few months ago at a hackathon here in New York. It's called ScratchML. The point of the project is to track fader movements and record movements for Scratch DJs.
Okay.
So there's nothing like it at all. There's a thing called TTM, Turntable Transcription Method, which is essentially sheet music for turntablists.
Oh!
And so the guy that did it, John Carluccio, super cool cat, he's wanted something like this for years, where you can just scratch it, do your routine, and analyze it, and it's like, here's what you did, print it out in TTM. The only way you can do it right now is you write that shit down by hand.
It's like tabs for DJs.
Exactly. So
that's awesome.
So it gets so much better, and that's first step. First step is, all right, you've got TTM now, like, here's what you did, and so now you can see it, have a record of it. Very cool.
Did you guys actually invent the actual tablature, as it
no,
were,
so
like
that,
methods of notation?
That was all John Carluccio. He did all of that years ago. TTM's been around, God, I want to say like 8 years at least.
Okay.
Yeah, so he did that, and he's wanted something like this, but he just doesn't have the resources to make it happen. And so, yeah, that's the first step, is you get all transcribed what you did on the turntables. The next step for that is, all right, so I want to learn how to do a scratch. How does DJ Qbert or D-Styles, like, how does this guy do this scratch?
Yeah.
So we're going to have them record all this stuff. It'll be in this big library. You can pull it down and see, here's how he does it. All right, sweet. Now I want to learn to do it like he does. So then it's going to analyze what you're doing in real time versus what... So it'll show what you're doing versus what you're trying to do. So then it'll be like, oh, you're a little quick here, a little slow here. And you'll be able to set your accuracy on it, being like, I want to be 80% accurate. And so then you'll go do your thing. Then it's like, all right, now I'll just step it up. Yeah, so that's another step to it. Like,
wow.
It's going to be an amazing project.
DJ training program.
That's the goal. Yeah, and it's it's something that I want. It's sheer greed on my part. I got into turntable stuff about a year and a half ago. Absolutely love it. And I was like, oh, I wish I had a way to analyze what I was doing and keep track of my scratches. So talking with friends, and the whole thing was kind of inspired by another FatLab project that Evan did. It was a Graffiti Research Lab link as well. Graffiti analysis. Where he was basically analyzing graffiti writers, like, how would they put their tags up on the wall? He's like, what's the movement? Okay. Like, you see all these tags on a wall, on a lamppost, whatever. And it's like, what letters did they write first? Like, what was their flow in this? Because, this is a really quick thing. So he wanted to figure out that movement that they were doing.
Yeah.
So he's got graffiti analysis, which goes in and tracks all of that and lays it out, shows you in 3D, like, here's the movement that person did. So that kind of sparked our minds, and we're like, what else could we do with that? And, with our motto at FatLab is re-release early, often, and with rap music. And so we're all a bunch of hip-hop heads. We love a good beat. So instantly we're just like, oh, my God, DJs. Like, tracking movement, DJs, this is an amazing realm in the world of hip-hop.
Yeah.
Graffiti, music,
it doesn't exist. It's incredibly desired.
Yep.
necessity is the mother of invention. That's pretty cool. That's really cool.
That's kind of our next big group project that I know about anyway. We're kind of just a collective of a whole bunch of people that all do random things, and we're all admins on the site. So you want something changed, you change shit. There's no real bureaucracy about it.
That's really cool. Where do you guys hail out of?
Everywhere. No, it was all started here in New York. It's Zach Lieberman, Jamie Wilkinson, James Powderly, Evan Roth, Jonah Peretti. Yeah, they all got together, kind of started everything in New York. They were all here at one point, and then they all sort of dispersed. Mm-hmm. Theo Watson was in there. Yeah, they all sort of dispersed. Now, a couple of them have come back, but yeah, now they're all over the world, and we've got fellows literally all over the world in FatLab.
That's really cool.
I'm based in D.C. There's people... Paris, Korea, Hong Kong, Tokyo, Brazil, Australia, all over the U.S., Mexico, Canada, Sweden, fucking everywhere.
Wow, that's really cool, man.
And every once in a while, we all get together and do some event. I think one of the last ones we did was Ars Electronica in Germany.
Not a bad event to get hooked up with.
The project that ended up happening there, the theme was Fuck Google. Which we promptly learned, when you do a really cool project but you put the word fuck in the title, you don't get a lot of news coverage. Or the news coverage you do get, it's just like blank Google, and so it sort of defeats the purpose of what you're trying to do. It's
very hard to Google for it.
Yeah, sort of free advertising a little bit. But yeah, if you actually Google fuck Google, FatLab comes up pretty quick. The referrals, fuck Google is one of the top ones every day. But yeah, one of the fun projects, we made a Google Street View car.
Okay.
We rented the same model they were using in Germany, and we basically built a cardboard camera that looked like their Street View cameras.
Okay.
And then we drove around Germany just filming what was going on, and like the footage we got was fucking epic. And we got like people like just pulling down their pants and like running along with the car with their pants around their ankles, like people flipping the car off. Like people were not keen on this.
Oh my god. And then there has to be an insane amount of editing that Google then has to do, and like refilming.
Well, so what was really funny on Google was people were like, oh my god. So our premise was that we found a Google Street View car and put a GPS tracker on it.
Yeah.
And so we were following it around. And we started doing skits with it where we the Google Street View driver like drinking from like rum or some shit while he's driving around. Google Street View driver getting lost. Google Street View driver getting carjacked.
You snapped like a magnetic GPS tracker.
Well, yeah, that was the premise, right? But in reality, we made the whole car. The whole thing was just totally a hoax.
Okay.
Yeah, we got crazy news coverage for the shit. It was hilarious. It was quite a while before people were like, "Wait, it's fake? It's not real."
So
like,
the news coverage thought the car was legit too.
Yep,
that's
everybody.
Awesome.
It was a great little con we pulled.
Got your guy in the car just sneaking some hits.
Yeah. We did one where it was him getting carjacked, and it was totally set up. It was us carjacking our own car, whatever. And in the process, like, you see the video of it, and there's an edit where this old guy runs up and like tries to help out and stop everything, and we had to like stop filming. We're like, no, time out, it's okay, like, here's what's going on. And then like the video jumps back in, and it's like us getting in the car and driving away. But yeah, old dude was ready to throw down. Like, he was literally grabbing and like, what the fuck are you doing?
Shit.
And like helping him out, came out of nowhere. Which is, leave it to the Germans to be, like, caring about their fellow Germans. Like, that shit would not happen in New York. People are like, yep, that fucker just got carjacked.
Yeah. No, people all pile up and watch.
Yeah, you're like, that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate.
They'll cheer on a good hit. That's the best you'll get.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, cool. All right, man. Well, I think we've kept you in here enough.
All right.
Get one last shout-out to...
Yes, Graffiti Research Lab and Fat Lab. Check us out at graffitiresearchlab.com and Fat Lab at fffff.at.
That's five Fs, right?
Five
Fs and an at.
That's right, because we're fucking fat.
All right, man. Good to have you on the show.
Pleasure.
Thanks for coming.